All right. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. It's good to be here and preach the Word of God. And, you know, I am really looking forward to just wrestling with this passage. I think it's going to be so important. And the reason, actually, that I wanted to share this passage with you specifically is because, not because I'm just trying to preach to you, right? I'm not just trying to preach this at you, but I think this is a message I need it for myself as well. Sometimes we have to preach to ourselves. You know, I think that's a great practice if you're a Christian, right? You have to continue preaching the gospel to yourself, or else you will forget it. And I think for the same thing as with myself as well, there's times when I can't simply just read through and just, you know, just kind of pass over certain things, but we have to wrestle with Scripture and have this passage preached to ourselves. Preach it. So, with that, let me pray for wisdom and strength to go through, and let's dig in here. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought us here, each and every one of us individually. You have called us to this place so that we may hear your word, that we may listen and heed it, that we may follow it. Father, I pray for just the ability to come before you humble and broken. Lord, all the things that we wrestle with and the things that come into our hearts, it builds this tolerance to your word, and so we can't even absorb it. But Father, I pray that by your Spirit, may you break us down. Break us down so that we may listen intently and let it just be absorbed into the depths of our heart, Lord. Father, thank you for just being able to gather in this kind of place. Lord, there's the people here. Lord, may we remember that we are gathered here together for the purpose of encouraging one another and glorifying you as one body. We are not separate people coming and just to listen to one message, but we are here to worship together with all the saints throughout history, Lord. So we praise you. We want to give you all the glory. We want to be open to your Spirit moving in our hearts today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was listening to a TED Talk the other day. I know some of you guys probably listen to TED Talks. And the TED Talk in particular I was listening to was one based on this idea of perseverance. All right, this woman was giving this talk on perseverance. And she was trying to figure out what made people successful. All right, what made individuals successful? She was a teacher in the classroom, and she was trying to figure out what made the certain students continue going on and getting good grades and, you know, doing well, and what separated them from those who didn't do as well. And over the course of years and of study, she found out that exactly this. It wasn't, just IQ level. Right? Sometimes that's what we think of. IQ is what determines who does well. It wasn't social intelligence. That's really popular now, right? Social intelligence or emotional intelligence. It wasn't that. It wasn't physical traits. It wasn't because you're good looking, right? Or, you know, you weren't good looking or whatever. It wasn't anything like that. But she found out that one of the most important traits for success was perseverance, right? Perseverance. And that's something that I want to talk about today, perseverance, which is what? It's the ability to keep going even though you don't think you can keep going, right? Perseverance is the idea that failure is not permanent for us, but it's just a temporary hindrance, right? Perseverance is seeing, as we will see, that life is a marathon and not a sprint. But I think I must admit, and maybe you must admit this as well, that being able to persevere is much harder than it seems. It's much harder than it seems. You know, I think we all want to believe that we're good at persevering. No one wants to say to themselves, oh yeah, I give up real easily. I give up. Whenever any hardship comes, I'm just going to give up. Right? No one wants to say that or admit to that, even though maybe some of us do experience that at times. But for many of us, and myself included, that's, you know, sometimes exactly what we do. You know, we give up. very easily. You know, I recently started going to the gym. And I've been going a lot recently. And before you think it's because I'm really motivated, it's not that at all. It's actually because my gym, you got to go 15 times in 60 days to get a gift card. So I'm like really pressing forward and going for that gift card, and I'm so sore right now. But, you know, I get there. You know, you got to check in. So I check in and make sure I get that credit. Get on that treadmill, and I tell myself I'm really motivated once I get there because I'm there already. I'm like, might as well go through with it. So, you know, I plug in the thing into the treadmill, and, you know, I'm going to do 1 mile. I hate running, but I'm going to do 1 mile. And then I put 1 mile in, and, you know, I think it's only 1 mile, so I'm going to go pretty fast. You know, so I keep pumping up the speed. And, you know, everybody else is running pretty fast. I don't want to be slower than them, so I pump it up. You know, I keep pressing in. So, you know, I start running, and I feel pretty good about myself. And it's not that tiring at the beginning. But as I'm running, you know, like 3/4 of the way in, there's this temptation. I don't know if you see it. You don't see it at first, but it becomes much more prominent as you keep going. It's this big red button right in the front of the treadmill. Stop. And as I'm running, I'm just staring at this stop button. And I say, I can do it. You know, I can keep going, but my body is like failing me. You know, my mind is like just so confused. It's like this painful, and I can make it stop right now if I just press this button. That temptation is right there. Some days, I keep going, press forward, feel good, I'm just going to get through this pain. But then there are other days where I just tell myself, you know what, why do I have to keep going? I'm not even getting anywhere. I'm on a treadmill right now. I'm going to just end up in the same place anyway. If I can just press this button, I'll just stop the pain. Just stop the pain. See, what happens, though, is when we press that button, or I press that button on the treadmill, it may stop the discomfort at that moment, but it'll also prevent the growth, right? You know, you can stop running, but it'll also prevent you from going further later on. It'll stop you from growing. The pain ends, but you won't be able to continue persevering in the future. I think this is the message of Hebrews. Right? This is the message of Hebrews. See, this is written to a church that has been long established. This is towards the end, you know, it's one of the last books of the Bible, and it's towards the end of this, the New Testament canon. And in this church, they've experienced at one point in their lives this great transformation of the gospel. They've been excited about what Jesus has done, and they've gone out and they've just preached the gospel, they evangelized, and they've been growing so quickly. But over time, this church became older. It became less passionate, less hungry for Jesus, less focused, and rather than continuing to run, they saw the stop button. And they said, might as well just put an end to it. I don't need to run anymore. You know, I think that's where we find ourselves spiritually pretty often. You know, we become spiritually lazy, weak, and tired, and we've lost sight of the finish line. And it's while we're in that state that Hebrews is telling us, keep running. Right? In this passage, actually, probably in the whole book of Hebrews, the focal point of all of this whole message, this whole letter, is probably this imperative, this command, let us run. Let us run. It says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us persevere. And today, that's what I want to do. I just want to explain, what does that mean? How do we persevere? And so I think this author of Hebrews is giving us 3 points, especially in these 2 short verses today, of how we can continue persevering in Christ. The first is to listen to witnesses. Second is to lay aside weights. And thirdly, and most importantly, is to look to Jesus. So first, listen to witnesses. Listen to witnesses. Let me read for us verse 1 again, and really focusing on this very first part. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we are surrounded by witnesses, is what the author is telling us. The question is, who are these witnesses? What witnesses are we surrounded by? In order to know this, we have to go back to chapter 11, and we're not going to read it today, but hopefully if you have the time, go back through chapter 11. It's one of the most beautifully written passages of Scripture regarding faith. What does it mean to have faith? But chapter 11 goes specifically into detail about those who have lived and died by faith. This phrase that repeats again and again, by faith, by faith, by faith. These are people throughout history of Scripture who have lived by faith according to the promises of God. And because they lived by faith, they were commended. It said that by faith, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, and David obtained salvation. Not by their works. Right? Not by their works. Sometimes we read through the Old Testament, we think, oh, these are good people who were able to attain this heavenly salvation by their works. No. Hebrews, it reiterates, by faith they obtain the assurance of salvation, by faith. So, this author of Hebrews is saying that because we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us run. Now he's going to state the motivation that we should have in running. And I think the first point is, the first way we can think about it is, we're motivated to run because we have people cheering for us. If you've ever run in a marathon, there are always people on the sideline cheering you on. You know, they have signs, they yell encouragements, they throw candy at you and give you water and Gatorade, and they're just cheering you on, right? To say, keep going, keep running. And in some way, that's encouraging. You have this encouragement. You say, oh, I'm not alone. I'm going to keep going. Right? There's people telling and it's encouraging us to take that next step. You're almost there. I mean, I think that is one motivation for us to finish well. But I think there's a greater meaning here. Because throughout Hebrews, witness doesn't just mean watching an event. Right? Sometimes witness means we watch something, right? We watch what's going on. But there, in this passage, witness, and especially throughout all of Hebrews, does not mean someone who's just simply standing on the sidelines. It doesn't mean someone who's just on the sidelines cheering someone else on. But these are people who have actually gone before us, who have finished and are cheering us on as those who have already finished the race. See, when it states these are witnesses, these are people who have already finished. And as they have finished, they've come back around to the sideline. And they're telling you, they're telling us, that through the testimony of their lives, because they have already accomplished what needed to be accomplished by faith, that you as well can accomplish what needs to be accomplished by faith. Here's what I think they're yelling. By faith, I have finished the race. And by faith, you can finish too. By faith, I have finished the race. And by faith, you can finish the race. See, this is more than just someone who hasn't gone through it and is cheering us on. But it's someone who has been there, who has run it, and has finished well. By faith, they have finished the race. By faith, you can finish too. And what is this testimony? Though they are no longer with us, it is through their testimony that is found in Scripture that continues to speak to us. Right? It's not that it has passed us over now, that we don't know what they're saying, but it's still in Scripture that it continues to speak. You know, one of the people that is talked about in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 is Sarah. You know, I think Sarah's testimony is important to us because Sarah's testimony shows us that the testimony that she gives is not one that is simply just saying that she's done it with her own strength, but it is because of God who has worked in her that she's been able to finish. She's saying, Sarah is saying that she was one who laughed at God. God gave her a promise, and she laughed at him. Said, no, you can't. That's ridiculous. And yet Sarah's saying, even though I laughed at God and I was completely in disbelief that he could do anything in my life, I was still able to finish the race because God was faithful. David, and he may be known as a man after God's own heart. I mean, we've learned that in Bible studies, but David is one who committed adultery, committed murder. And he's saying to the people through his testimony of his life, I have failed in ways that you could only imagine. You can't even imagine the things that I have done and to commit the acts that I have committed. And yet, by faith, I have finished the race well. By faith, you can finish too. See, there are countless others as we read through Scripture. Scripture, the Bible, is not about people who are heroic and just have this kind of inner will and power to be able to accomplish things on their own. Scripture is about broken people. Broken people by faith in God, trusting in his promises that they are able to finish the race. That's a reminder for us. God takes imperfect people and perfects them. Secondly, we are to lay aside weights. Let me read verse 1 again, and let's focus on the second part of it. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, it says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. If you've ever been backpacking before, I haven't, so I'm not really speaking from experience. I read about it. I was planning on doing it, but I never got through with it. But one thing I did find out, probably the reason why I didn't go through with it, is that every piece of equipment is so expensive. It is backpacking. You think, you know, it's like you just take like a bag, whatever, plastic bag, canvas bag, and you just put stuff in there and then you just go. But that's not it. It's so expensive. And I realized the reason why backpacking is so expensive is because there's so much technology that goes into every little piece of equipment. And the reason is, you know, if you think about it, if you're going backpacking, all you can do is carry this one thing for even for maybe days. Every ounce counts. Right? Every ounce counts when you're trying to walk miles, 60 miles, 100 miles, whatever it may be. And so all this technology and is being poured into this kind of backpack or this walking stick or whatever, this water bottle. It can be $300 for a backpack. But people buy it. Right? People buy it all the time. Why? Because they want to be able to finish the hike. See, here, the more you take with you on your journey, the more difficult it will be to get to the end. Of course, by taking less, you won't be as comfortable. You know, we go to Devil's Lake. That is not backpacking. You know, when we go, it's like glamping. You know, people are bringing the tents that it's probably bigger than my house or bigger than my apartment. You bring all kinds of stuff. We have great food. That's not that. That's comfortable, right? But if you really want to get somewhere and backpack to the end, you know, if you want to take more with you, you may be more comfortable, but you may not finish. If comfort was a goal, you would just stay home. But in order to make it to the end, you have to take what is only necessary. And I think the point here is this, that if you want to run the race with endurance, you have to lay aside every weight. You know, I think that's a challenge. You have to lay aside every weight. And I think we have to pay attention here because it's not just talking about sin, and it does talk about sin. It says, you know, lay aside every weight and sin. And I think that makes sense to us. If we're to finish the race of faith, we have to lay aside all our sins, because being disobedient to God, you will not be able to reach heaven. You will not be able to get there if you continue to sin. You're just going to be on a different path. But at the same time, it's not only about sin, but it's also about weights. Right? It's about things that may continue to weigh us down so that it may not necessarily be sinful, but it's not going to help us get to the end. The weights that are there. If there is anything keeping you from running the race, the command and encouragement here is that you must put it aside. Now, how challenging is that? You know, I think it's very challenging for all of us because, you know, as people, we want to be comfortable. You want to be comfortable. And so we want to take with us as much as we can gather. And on this race, we just want to walk comfortably and on our own pace. But here, in order to run with endurance, we must lay aside the weights. There are many behaviors and habits and interests and desires that are not necessarily sinful, but are weighing us down from running. You know, I think the question that we must ask ourselves is not, is it sinful? Right? That's what we ask usually. You know, I think if we're trying to grow, we ask ourselves, oh, is that sinful? Can I do that? Okay, I can do that. Is that sinful? If it's not sinful, then yeah, it's fine. But that's the wrong question to ask. You know, if we're to really finish well, it's not simply, is it sinful? Is it disobedient to God? The question is it going to help me run for Jesus and to Jesus? See, this is, a difficult question because we really would rather not know the answer to that question. Because if we examine our lives, a lot of the things that we include, we would say, oh, definitely it does not help me run to Jesus. But that's why we must dig deep and take the time to ask ourselves, what is weighing us down? And again, we can carry as much as we can carry. But if you can't finish the race, then what does that mean? It means nothing. We always try to remind ourselves, you can't take it with you. You can't. No matter how hard we try, you can't take it with you. If you are to run with endurance, you must lay aside the weights. Thirdly, we must look to Jesus. Verse 2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If you are to persevere in the long run, you must look and keep your eyes on Jesus. Because the tendency is that we will always put and keep our eyes on ourselves and say, I can't run. I can't do it anymore. I don't have the resources or the power or the energy to keep going. I've already tried to go on and I've already failed. That's what happens when we put and keep the eyes on ourselves. Therefore, we must look to Jesus. And when we look to him, what we see are a few things here. We see that Jesus authors faith. Jesus is the author, or the ESV translates it as founder of our faith. Right? Meaning, he is the one who writes us into the story of God. He's the author. Because of our sinfulness, we are not part of the redemption story. Or if you are not in God, you are not part of the story of redemption, but Jesus writes you into the redemptive story. He writes you into this history of faith that you may no longer be on the outside, but now you may be on the inside. Jesus enters into humanity, lives righteously as man, dies on the cross for our sin, so that we may be included as not part of the damnation that we so deserve. Right? The bad ending that we deserve. But we now have been given a new life, a new creation. And it says here that as Jesus authors our faith and he founds our faith, what it means is that you belong. You belong in this race. Running in this race is not an accident. Right? You have a purpose for being here. You know, when we think that we're living in a Christian life, and you think to yourself, do I actually belong here? You know, I see all these other people around me who seem to be running so well. They're so faithful. They're doing so much. And I'm just over here in the corner, just doing my own thing. Do I belong in this race? And Jesus is saying, I am the author. I wrote you into the story. You may not be the main character. That's something you have to probably deal with, right? You may not be the main character, but you're still part of the story. Jesus has written you in. Therefore, we can keep running in this race. You belong in this race. We must look to Jesus. He's the author. He's the one who writes us in. Secondly, Jesus perfects faith. Jesus will finish what he begins. We were reminded of this verse last week with Pastor KJ. But Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. You know, this doesn't mean that you don't need to do anything. Of course, we have to continue running. But everything you need to finish has been given to you. Because of that, you should have a certain kind of godly confidence to keep going when you don't think you can keep going. Your life may not be as you imagined it to be. You know, I think when we look forward and think of what is our life going to look like, what is my life going to look like, it may not look like what you imagined in the past, but because Jesus is the one who perfects faith, you know that you're still going in the right direction. God is at work in you, and he works through you. Because Jesus perfects faith, you can be sure and have confidence that you will be able to finish no matter what. Jesus perfects faith. And lastly, Jesus exemplifies faith. This is part where it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We can persevere in the same way Jesus persevered. There was a joy set before him, and because of that joy that was set before him, he despised the shame. He endured the cross, and he continued to move forward step by step so that he may get the salvation that we did not deserve and buy it back for us. Jesus exemplifies this kind of faith, that he would endure all those things for his people. And for us as well, there is a joy set before us that has been made for us by Jesus. Jesus secured our place in heaven that we may experience joy in the end. Therefore, we must simply keep running. There is a joy in the end that Jesus has secured. Therefore, keep running to obtain that joy. Now, there will be temporary loss in this race. Nothing comes easy. Nothing will come easy. Nothing ever comes easy, it seems. You know, you may have to face physical suffering. You may have to face pain, the pains of this world, the fallenness and brokenness of cancer, of disease, all those different things. You may have to face emotional suffering, you know, depression, right? Just the hurt of the people, the hurt that people around you have brought into your life. You may have to face that. You may have to face even spiritual suffering. It's true, there's a spiritual warfare. Satan will attack you and will try to whittle you down so that you have nothing left. But this is nothing compared to what we'll receive in heaven. There is a joy set before us. I think the Apostle Paul puts it really well in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17. It says, "For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." If you know the story of the Apostle Paul, you know you probably wouldn't call it a light, momentary affliction. You know, for most people would say, this is the worst tribulation and trial that any human being could undergo throughout their whole lives. And yet, when he talks about his struggles, he calls it a light, momentary affliction. When you think about your struggles, can you call it light, momentary affliction compared to the eternal weight of glory that is set before you? We can say that if you are in Christ. Christ has set before us a joy unimaginable. Therefore, keep running. Let me just repeat our passage for us. Let it sink in and let it preach to us. Brothers and sisters, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you. For Jesus sits at your right hand and is interceding on our behalf even now. For when we don't feel like we can keep going, we simply look to Jesus, for he is the one who keeps us going. Father, I pray for all of us who may not feel like we have the resources or the energy. There have been circumstances, situations that we have faced that have brought doubt into our lives, have brought just struggles and these trials that just continue to put our faith into crisis mode. But Lord, even in our unbelief, may you work your spirit in our hearts so that our confidence doesn't come from the strength of our will and the strength of our belief, but Lord, that it comes from the strength of what you have done. Our confidence comes through Christ who endured all things on the cross. So may we look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Father, I pray also for just the simple yet challenging message that we are to lay aside weights and sins. Convict us now, even, that we may not try to carry everything with us, but we may put it aside, lay it aside, so that we may run with endurance unto you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.